Why? June 29th,
Rabbi Menachem Litag, and the title is
Hizkiel versus Yishayel. Why bad things happen to good kings?
Okay. Now it's much for you to.
Now I can talk. Working?
I think so. Yeah. Okay.
We have a small little dilemma to start because usually we do this here mornings after 8:30 in the morning or 8 in the morning on Sundays, and then we have donuts and coffee, and it's easy to stay awake. And problem number two is we've been doing a series pretty much since Yeshua over the last like 4 or 5 years, and the group that comes in the morning, some of you are here, and some of you aren't here. I mean, some of you. Now, I can't just jump into the topic and assume everyone knows the last thing, because then people who weren't there are going to be lost. So I have to apologize to people who come late, and with you, we'll call Chazara. And I'll try to explain the problem. There'll be a little sine wave we'll get out soon to explain it. Yeah. And we just forgot the same topic last time, but we'll get there. What we're trying to do, the truth is there's no reason for this to be a shir because everything you can just read. I feel bad sort of wasting a shir on something people can read on their own. On the other hand, people never read it. So a lot of it will be reading today. But everyone's heard of King Chizkiel. The topic is Chizkiel in the time of Yishayel. And if you had to judge like between, on a scale of 1 to 10, Chizkiel would go, how would he rate? At least 9, if not a 10. Like, we'll see how enough. Wisdom. You could ask for much of a better king. Tell me some famous things he does that's good from what you remember. Which wall? The wall, the Kaiso or the house wall? What? He got sick, and God told him, God tells him the Nebi tells him he's going to die, and he says, check with the Nebi, and he goes and davens on his own, and God lets him. He seems to daven, he gets rid of the babot. And we're seeing Sefer Melachim, he's called like one of the best, if not the best. He's good, and what he does, we'll see what he does is amazing. But if you look in Jewish history, if you want to identify, when was the first Beit HaMikdash destroyed? Not the Beit HaMikdash itself, but called the first monarchy. If I'm looking at the first monarchy, beginning with Shlomo, when we have all 12 tribes, when we have our full borders, and we're a strong nation, if that's sort of a high point, when did that fall apart? If someone asks you, when is Churban Bayit Rishon? Give me the year everyone tells you. Everyone says 586. And they think it's like a step function. Up until 586, we have a full monarchy, and after 586, we have nothing. Everything's nothing. But it's not like that at all. 95% of the Churban, maybe 96, happened during the reign of Chizkiel. Because what happened? The 10 tribes, when did they go?
Elsewhere.
Yeah, where did they go, but when did they go? During, in the 6 years of Chizkiel, they're gone. And what's amazing, during the reign of Chizkiel, we'll see, the gates of Yerushalayim are now open, and people from the north come and celebrate the Pesach that Chizkiel makes. The kingdom is pretty much united under Chizkiel. And after it's united and it returns to God, that's when Shomron goes into exile, which is problematic enough. But that, not only Shomron, so Yerushalayim we know is saved. It was like a big miracle at the end. But how about the rest of Yehuda? What was the Tel Aviv in the time of Bayit Rishon? You know what the ancient Tel Aviv was? What was the big city where all the trade took place and all the traveling took place? What? Not Yafo. No, it's got to be on the Via Mari. It's got to be on the main highway. Lachish. You heard of Lachish? Lachish is a big city. Lachish is on the Via Mari, the main highway. It's also the crossroad on the way from there if you want to carry the Hebron. Remember, you've been to Beit Guvrin? Beit Guvrin is Moresha. But there's a valley called Nachos HaKumiyah, or Chotzei Yehuda, that goes from the Via Mari, from the main highway, the coastal highway between Egypt and Mesopotamia, that cuts into the mountain range into Hebron. And the valley it goes through, Hebron's the big city on the mountain range, Beit Guvrin, or Moresha, is where it meets the Shvela, where it meets the Shvela, and the end of the Shvela, where the Shvela meets the Chof, is Lachish. Lachish was the big city. and a powerful city, and Sanhedrin laid the siege to that city. That victory is so big that he built a palace about it. That's in all the museums, the big ones in the British Museum. But in his palace, they covered it in intake. He has like three walls, which are a relief of the Battle of Lachish. And there's so much to learn from that relief. I'm sure that's like classic history. I'm hoping most have heard of that. It's all, even Damikra has it in a little picture sometimes. Because you see what Jews look like from there. You see they all have beards. Right? No one's shaven, except the Egyptians are shaven. That's an old one. What type of, how they fought wars, their relative heights and things like that, how they raised each to a city. There's so much you learn from that relief because it's a picture of what happened back then. Why did I bring that down? The big city Lachish is destroyed during the reign of Chizkiyahu. The only city is not only Lachish, all the major cities of Judah are destroyed. Yerushalayim is saved at the last minute. Now, that's mind-boggling to people. Why? We have a king who's a tremendous tzaddik, and the worst things happen during his reign. So, at the end of the game, we beat, or Ashur beat, and Yerushalayim is saved. I think they call it a Pyrrhic victory. I think that's a fancy word for it.
Pyrrhic
victory. Why? It's like almost like after the Yom Kippur War. We won the war, but in the eyes of the people, we lost it. So much was lost. So at the end, we won. But it really wasn't much of a victory. What we're going to do first is we're going to read, and first we have to show how good a king Chizkiyahu was. And we'll read that inside. That'll be the boring part, but something we have to go through. And then we have to understand, how could it be that a king who's so good and so dedicated, and the people being seem to be so good, how could such terrible things happen? In essence, Churban Bayit Rishon is more in the time of Chizkiyahu than any other king. Now remember, Isaiah, Yishayahu, is a Navi from, now you can sing your song about Uziel. From the time of Uziel through Yotam Achaz Chizkiyahu, and according to Chazal, early Menashe. And they say Menashe killed him, which makes a lot of sense. When, one thing, I'm not sure if we'll get there that far today, but something we should pay attention to, if you want to entertain, why is it that Yishayahu talks about Nechama? Remember Deuteronomy Isaiah, everyone talks about from chapter 40 on, the so-called book Nechama? Wrote a scholarship. Who's the author of that? When is that written? They always say Second Temple, don't they? They call it Deuteronomy Isaiah. Why do they identify Second Temple? Because what's Deuteronomy Isaiah talking about? It's about Shiva returning to Zion, the exiles returning, Yerushalayim being rebuilt, the seas of Yehuda being rebuilt again. When you think that 586 is a Korban, and they return in like 520 or 538 with Koresh, etc., so why would a Navi in 720 BCE, like Yishayahu, be talking about events that are happening 200 years from now? It makes no sense. Even if he's a prophet, it makes no sense. Even if you're saying that a prophet can do things like that, there's no point in a prophet predicting events that are going to happen 200 years from now. You understand why? It doesn't help anybody. But you're taking away any Bechira Chofshit from 150 years in between. You're making Yirmiyahu a laughing stock. Because why is Yirmiyahu telling the people to repent and do tshuva if it's a lost cause? If everything's predetermined already by Yishayahu, and that's my claim the whole time, the Nevi'im don't come to predict history, they come to shape it. And you don't measure Nabi by how many predictions he makes to come true. Okay. Now that Bernie gave those copies, I'll just show you what we talked about. We call this the sine wave. And I want to show you this line of Korban to accent how bad things are in the time of Chizkiyahu. And we have to figure out today, try to begin to understand, but how could it be that such terrible things happen? One of the worst time periods in Jewish history happens when the king is the best. To the point that who's the Navi who has to deal with it? Who's the Navi who's going to take the brunt of this attack? Do you understand the problem Yishayahu has? And I'll make fun for a minute, but Yishayahu, in order to solve the problem, you know what he has to do? I'm saying it facetiously. He's got to make this claim that what God cares about is social justice and not korbanot. Understand my point? And that's going to explain half of Yishayahu. Yishayahu's going to come up with something. He's going to say the strangest thing. You know what? God's not so hungry. Remember Lama Lirov Zivchechem? It's not just about bringing sacrifices. It's about your behavior among one another. And in a nation that's so dedicated to God and so into the ritual side and bringing Korbanot and the Beit HaMikdash and keeping mitzvot, They never heard of such a thing. They don't know what he's talking about. And they don't buy it, and they say he's just making excuses. And that'll be, and I'm trying to understand, why is it that Yishayahu spent so much time on this Tzedek HaMishpat thing? Anyone who read Yishayahu can't miss it. To the point that the Bible critics flip everything around, and what do they say? They say Judaism was a pagan religion up until Yishayahu. And who turned it into an ethical religion?
Yishayahu.
You follow what they do? Because they're a Hegeli. They say things are always getting progressive. So they say we began pagan and worked our way up. Kaufman like fights that. It's easy to disprove. But I'm not pointing out to teach you what the critics say. I'm trying to accent how big of a chiddush it is that all of a sudden we have Nevi'im where the main thing they talk about is social justice. And it looks like it's sort of an excuse of how could the God they've been serving, how can the God be so mean to them if they're so dedicated to him? Now, two more minutes on the sine wave, because it'll help explain what we did, and then we can start reading inside. The sine wave is the y-axis is how the state of the nation, how good things are, not just how firm they are, but how good is the economy, how good is our borders, how safe it is, how good is the first, what great country it is. The x-axis, from left to right, is time. And therefore you see the king. Basically, Shlomo is the high point, that's the benchmark. Things, and what causes all the downfalls, it's like, pretty much like the stock market today. On the way down.
Nope.
And it's even better. and the reason why the graphs are important, because what analysts do with these graphs, if you understand what's the cause of this, of the ups and downs, if I can realize what's the cause of the ups and what's the cause of the downs, then I'll know what to do to keep the market up. Or inflate it. Now, and what's interesting, what usually causes all the falls is when we fight with each other. The big fall, for sure, the first big fall is caused by Yerovam. And then Yehoshaphat and Achav, when they get along well with another, things go good again. When Yehu comes with his coup d'etat, and again there's a break between Yehudah and Yisrael, things fall apart again. Yishael begins his career, and that's been our last several shiurim, in the reign of Uziel, and as you were singing the song, Uziel was super powerful. Remember what he built? What were you thinking about before? He was a big builder, and that's a high point. Uziel was almost as good as the time of Shlomo, and we dedicated our whole share to explain that's the background to Paris Beth and Yishayel, what's called in Manhattan, on the wall, on the Isaiah wall, called Chazon Achrit Yamim. We were very close in the time of Uziel to a Messianic time, because we had our borders, we had quiet, we had prosperity, and Yishayel says, just get your behavior together, and you have a Messianic time period. But too much haughtiness, etc., and things go bad again, and God says you didn't listen, and therefore I'm getting sure, and then again things fall again. That's the fall. And that's what we followed. That was the last year about Yotam and Achaz. Achaz is so angry with God because we're serving God, he doesn't help us. And Achaz is what's called Baroidit. He's Emahachi with God. And he's so angry with God for letting Ashur come and win, that he goes and closes down the Mikdash, that was the last year, built a mizbeah in the style of Ashur. He takes a mizbeah that the king of Ashur made in Damascus. He renovates the temple to be the 51st state kind of idea. He has an Assyrian mizbeah, and God gets really angry with him. He doesn't want to have anything to do with God. He's angry. And then God comes and punishes him even more, and we have this broken thing between God and Achaz. That's what we get up to. When Achaz dies, Chizkiyahu changes policy 180 degrees. And that's going to be our first topic. We're going to read what Chizkiyahu does in the first year of his reign. It's going to be told to turn around, and that'll help get the background of what's going on. Just as long as you're looking on the map, on the graph, look what happens after Achaz, before Chizkiyahu becomes king. The 10 tribes go into exile, understand? And at the last minute, Chizkiyahu saves again. We win a battle, and then things go bad again in Menasheh, and then Yoshiel. That's already the topic for Yirmiyahu. But that little dotted line in the middle, with Galut Shomron, for all intents and purposes, that's Churban Bayit Rishon. But 95% is gone. And if you want to understand why a Nabi like Yishayahu in 700 BCE, or 680, about when he dies, could be writing about Shivat Zion, Amisol returning from exile, rebuilding Yerushalayim, rebuilding the cities of Yehudah, most of that content, it's much more fitting, both in its language and its meaning, it's much more fitting to Yishayahu's time period in Menasheh than it is to Koresh and Bayit Sheni. So it's true he mentions Koresh, that can be a little insert in that on, and that's the whole topic we have to deal with properly. But I hope that point is clear, that don't look at 586 as the year of Korban, and everything beforehand was fine. Most of the Korban is 100 years earlier. But the word in Hebrew is called Gosek. Gosek is when someone like takes a long time to die. By Rishon, it takes about 100 years for the Korban to be finished. And it goes up and down a little bit. But the last years that things were really good was Uziel. And when Uziel and Yerubam, the second were good. After that, things just go from bad to worse. See, Uziel tries to save things. It's a valiant try, but it doesn't work. And that's what we have to study today inside. So we're going to begin in Melachim, and then we have to do Melachim and Divrei Yamim. The truth is Divrei Yamim has more detail, but we have to go in order. We'll start with Melachim. And what Tariq is, Tariq is Chet. Melachim Bet, Tariq is Chet. Who said something about Bamot? You did, right?
Yeah.
What were Bamot? Explain what you meant by Bamot. How did you know that about Bamot?
Second chapter,
the
first Pesach.
On Pesach?
It's there.
Yeah, I know it's there, but do you remember from reading it or remember hearing about it? It's a Chazal somewhere or something?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll see. Bamot, are Bamot good or bad?
Depends what?
Depends why.
After Binyan, it's
yeah.
By definition, in our web.
Oh, yeah. After, what do you mean after Beit HaMikdash?
After Binyan, Beit
HaMikdash. Yeah. Or after Menucha V'Nachala. There's time of a motor when we're not settled down and our borders aren't set and we're still unsettled, it's okay to have a mot. For the second, there's one central place to serve God, we don't need him anymore, and we can only serve God by Makom Hashem Har Hashem. If you accept Yerushalayim as the capital and Makom Hashem Har Hashem, then Bamot should be Usher. But now you can work backwards. If Yerushalayim is not Makom Hashem Har Hashem and we're not settled down, de facto, Bamot or Mutter. Guess what they claim in the northern tribes? By definition, they said by definition, if they don't accept David, and they don't in lanu chelik with David below nachla leben Yishai, by definition, there's no more menucha v'nachla. Therefore, Bamot or Mutter. Therefore, they don't Beit El and Dan. And Bamot could be anywhere. In Yerushalayim, they paskin different. I mean, the Rambam passed the Paschim Bishop. The Rambam was written during that. And therefore, even the good kings, look at every good king before Chizkiel. What did it say? Vayat HaTov Ben Hashem, Rakha Bamot Otsaru. It's not what they say, it's Mishkapela. It's not so terrible. Because Bamot is serving God. It's not idol worship. It's not, you know, it's not a perfect, you know, wouldn't be the most perfect meaning, but it's not idol worship. Some of them get really angry at what happens there, and they call it, it's like you're worshipping idols. And that's why even in Sefer Melachim, they're called Agarim. They call them the Bamot and Beit El and Dan, they call it an ego, comparing it to Chet Ego. Was it really an ego or a Kruvim? Rav Meidan has a really cool shir on that. He claims to go Kruvim. Do you understand the idea? I think we talked about it once. Point to Rav Meidan that in Beit El and Dan, they have Kruvim. One Kruv in each one. And what statement was that making? The Shekhinah is between the Kruvim. Where's the Shekhinah? Between our borders. Dan is the northern border, Beit El is the southern border of the ten tribes. And we're saying that God's Shekhinah is everywhere. As opposed to only in Yerushalayim. Too much centralization of Kedusha. No, Kedusha Koleidah Kulam Tosim. And they make things better. They go back to the way things were before Chet Ego. Because it, up north, what happens to the Kohanim and Levim? They lose their job. Because we go back to anyone who wants can become a coin. Or maybe the poor can become a coin. And Rabbam's two sons are named Nadav and Aviah.
Sure.
Never noticed that? Okay. There's something going on there. There's a shita about go back to the good old days. We're trying to get to Pichat Ega. But the most, that's going to be clear, or is Abba Ratz Hashem, we're going to prove it in a minute. In a couple of sukkim. Chizkiel is the first king that decides no more Bamot. And he thinks he's doing the right thing. Okay. For sure not. We're going to see that. It's telling people no Shtiblach. Imagine that no Shtiblach and now we have no Hashkama minute. Yeah.
You said it first. What about Shlomo and Rehoboam in those early days?
They were good kings. They built the Migdash. Bamot was still around.
But they tolerated.
Yeah. It's like telling people, you can't, again, it's like saying nowadays, No Ashkava minute. This idea that everyone has to daven together in one place, because for some reason that makes God look better, when everyone davens together and does it properly and nicely instead of getting over, if that's possible.
What?
What about the stukim and chumash about that?
It's not miyuchad and achadah. Yeah.
Doesn't
the Mishnah
in the Mishnah
is clear that once there's a Beit HaMikdash, there's a Bavos? What's the Mishnah in the Mishnah? What's Menucha, what's Nachala? Menucha Zeh Shilo, Menucha Zeh Shilo, Nachala Zeh Yerushalayim, Zeh Zeh Shilo. But the Mishnah wasn't written yet. And the Rambam had been talking it.
Never mind the Rambam. Yeah. The Mishnah is certain, so that was not part of... Yeah.
I'll actually have... You know Paskin's about motor out? Hear me yell. That's it. Sefer Malchim Paskin to Bamod Rasa. And that's why Bait Sheni, when after Yirmiyahu is vindicated, and they return to Bait Sheni, they Paskin like Yirmiyahu. The Bamod are out.
Oh, but whenever they say...
And Bait Sheni, there's no more Bamod. No one even thinks about it.
Whenever they say, no, they think he was good, but he didn't take away the Bamod.
What's that proof?
That they were bad. That whoever wrote... that the book Malachim thinks they're bad.
And who wrote Sefer Malachim? Yirmiyahu. That's exactly on that point. But in the time of the people then, Bamot was... And on Har Carmel, what does Eliyahu build up? Mizbeach Hashem Harut. It's so bad that the Bamot are taken apart. What? That's an answer. That's the answer Chazal gives. That shows you the problem. It doesn't say, again, you're looking backwards. You follow? I'm just showing you that there's a Mizbeach Hashem Harut. And Pshat is, there's a Mizbeach Hashem that was destroyed by Zebel. Because she was getting rid of all, she was bringing in this other culture. So it doesn't fit with the, it doesn't fit with Tzachal Ha'as. It works backwards. Horat Shah. That's one answer. That's not saying it for sure. It's a possibility. Now, back to, now we have to see what Hizkiyahu does. I'm going to show you what Hizkiyahu does and why he does it. And we have to see what will happen now. We're in Derek Yudkat, right?
Yeah.
Okay. As this recall, Ahaz was a really bad king. Lahachis was angry with God, didn't want, God says, I'll help you out, doesn't want to hear from him. He's so angry with God because God doesn't help him. Vayikashav Shalosh Loshev Ben Elam Melech Yisrael Melech Yitzkiyahu Ben Ahaz Melech Yehuda Vesim Chamesh Shanai Bamocho Vesim Lechad Shesh Shanim Melech Yerushalayim Vesim Imo Ribat Chariah. Okay. Now let's see how good he is. Pasuk Gimel. Vayas HaYashav Ben Hashem Kechol Asher Asan David Avid. That's about as good as you can get. Who is Sirat HaBamot? That was what you were talking about, right?
Yeah.
You got rid of the Bamot. Vishibat Matzevot V'chat HaTashirah. All the idol worship stuff as well. V'chitit Nechash HaNechoshet. They get that for the Gevarim Pesachim. Asher Asam Moshe. That's been around for a long time. It's in Sefer Bamidbar, isn't it? This week it's coming up in Kukat. Okay. Kiyad Yamim Ha'ema Hayu B'nei Yisrael Matzirim Lo. Like Lo Nechushan. That's the name of the elevator company today. Okay. Never noticed that? Huh? And that symbol, the Nachash, is a symbol of Chavrufua. Vashem HaNitra V'tach, listen. V'achrav lo yachamohu, v'chom ma'ach Yehuda v'asher yu lefanav. How's your rate? That's a 10. Okay. V'idbach v'ashem. How could he have anything better? V'idbach v'ashem. Remember the Dov Chabad, right from Sefer Dvarim. Lo sam yachrav, v'yishmor mitzvotah v'asher ziv ha'ashem et Moshe. V'ayya Hashem imo, v'chol asher yetzei yeskil. V'aymrodu melech ashor v'lo avado. He follows God, and what does he do? Politically, he rebels against Ashur. Ahaz buttered up to Ashur. Didn't he? And he put all his trust in Ashur. Remember what Ahaz said? We saw that last time. He says, Avdi, Avdi, something like that. Didn't he say? I think that was the lesson. He said, you're my boss, you're my master, you're my daddy, tell me what to do.
In essence, Ashur was in control already before this.
Pretty, we were almost like a puppet. We were sovereign, but we were allied to the point that we had a... As sovereign as we are, as sovereign as Israel is today. Who is Kata Plishtim? Adaza Betvula. He was successful in his attack against the Plishtim. He's doing well. Okay. And that's Galut Eser Tashpatim. Got it? Okay, that's the opening years of Hizkiyahu according to Malachim. But we don't talk about the first year. We just say that he was good. And then, despite that, in the fourth year of his reign, Shalmaneser,
It's Sheminis of the fifth, okay, or the third. I get mixed up all the time. Sheminis of the fifth. Doesn't make any sense. Sheminis,
but he messes up. He comes in and attacks Shomon to siege Targon. The second is the one who finishes up the city. But Shamanessa is the one who begins to siege on Shomron, and the actual exile is done by Sargon.
That's what we look at, the Galut of the
Sargon. That's Galut of the Sargon.
That's
five. Then we have a whole thing, in very good time we had the whole show. Yeah. Very good time was a whole sikkum about it. No. In Dibur Yamim we have much more details, which will help to share a lot. So let's go to Dibur Yamim. It's going to be Perek, almost in the back. Dibur Yamim Bet. Chet, I think. Probably Chav Zayin, Chav Chet, or Chav Tet. One second. Yeah, Chav Tet. Yeah, Perek Chav Tet. The first two Pesukim are identical. He reigned for 25 years. He was 29 when he became king, or vice versa. He was 25, reigned for 29 years. His mommy's name, etc. And again, B'yafsai Shav B'nei Hashem, Choser HaSadavim. Now we're going to get details of what happened in year one. Listen carefully. And if anyone wants to be a conservative rabbi, this would be a good source text to see. Who b'shana rishon l'mocho, b'chodesh harishon, b'tachat datot beit Hashem v'yechazken. I think that's also a song. Isn't it? The first, as soon as he becomes king, the first year of his reign, he opens up the gates of the Mikdash. What do you mean he opens them up? Where were they till now? He has a Perek Chav Tet in Divrei Hayamim, Pasuk Gimel. Achaz closed down the Mikdash. You know the Kuvot and Achaz? In outside documents, I think it's Shamanessa and Sargon, when they talk about the Jewish king, when they talk about the kings of Yehuda, they talk about Yehoahazi. The king during the time, I think Shamanessa is the third, is Yehoahazi. The king of Yehuda is Yehoahaz. And his official name should be Yehoahaz. There's lots of Yehoahazes, because all the kings have God's name in them. What did Achaz do though? Achaz closed down the Mikdash, cut down the Kior, cut out. What did Sefer Melachim do to his name? Cut out God's name. If we didn't have outside that, we'd never have that. His name was Yochaz, and the Navi calls him Achaz. Because what did he do? The Navi cuts out God's name from Achaz's name, calling him Achaz. But that's what Achaz did. Chizkiyahu changes policy 180 degrees. And he's going to open up the Mikdash and fix it up. Remember? And he's going to rebel against Ashur. He's doing this. All the same Shemaim. Okay. V'yabeit ha'kohanim v'yasrim l'rechov ha'mitrach. Rechov in Tanakh, doesn't mean a street. You know what rechov means in Tanakh?
Plaza.
A plaza, a wide open area, like Rachel. So he gathers the kohanim and levim together. He's going to get, that's going to be his machanser. ויאמר להם שמעוני הלווים, אתה, התקדשו את בית השם אלוהי אבותיכם, והוצאתם מן הקודש. כי מעלו אבותינו ועשו הוראה בני השם אלוהי ויעזבו ויסבו פניהם ממשכן השם ויתנו עורף. You follow? Listen to the תשובה he's doing. He says, our forefathers did that, our parents' generation was terrible, we have to fix things up. גם סגרו דעתות העולם, וחברו את הנרות והצור לא הקטירו, ועולה לא העלו בקודש לבי ישראל. That's all describing what happened during Achaz. ויקצב השם על יהודה, listen carefully. ויקצב גדול השם על יהודה וירושלים, ובניהם לדאבה, לשמה ולשרקה, כאשר אתם רואים ביניכם. How does Chizkiyahu explain the reason for Ashur's success? And why are things so bad in Yehuda? And why is the country falling apart? And why are we losing so badly? Because of what Achaz did. Remember that game of Brokers? Achaz is angry because God didn't help us enough, and therefore he closed down the Mikdash. Chizkiyahu is saying, no, the reason why things are so bad is because Achaz closed down the Mikdash. That's what's called playing Barogas. Who's to blame? No. V'nei naflu avotinu b'charev, u'v'nei nuv'natinu b'nashin v'shvi, avdosh. That's why we're losing battles, that's why we're in captivity, and that's why things are so bad. No, listen. Ata, im levavi michrod brit la'adonai Elohi Yisrael, yashob imenu charon apo. What do you want to do? We're going to re-establish the covenant with God. Chidush HaBrit. And that will stop God's anger with us. B'nai, ata yitash al tishalu. Ki b'chem b'chal adonai lamod afanav l'shato, lo m'shatim akhtirim. It's your responsibility. Don't mess up. Don't let this opportunity slip.
it's your responsibility, the Kohanim and Levim, to lead the nation and get things moving. Could you ask for a better king than that? You'd expect redemption coming. Somebody's sheikh, who's that? It's Yahu, right? It's all set. Right? Okay, we get the whole, we can skip the list of all the names. And they listen to him. Right? And then the Pasuk Lamed, Vayomer Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Vatorim Levim Lahalel Hashem, Vidivrei David, Vasafa Chozeh, Vayalut, Simcha, Vakiva Shtachavu. He gets the choir moving. He doesn't just renovate the Mikdash, he gets, there's a shul choir. The shul grows. Okay. He gives, we can skip the next part. That's what all the korbanot they bring. Pasuk Lamed Hey. Gam olav l'rov v'chavei ha'shlamim v'tzchim l'olav v'tikon avodat beit Hashem. Avodat beit Hashem, the Mikdash becomes tremendous again. They start bringing korbanot. And then v'yismach hizkiyah v'chol ha'am alechim avrim la'am ki pitom haya davar. It was quick, sudden. Everyone's happy. We're turning over a new leaf. Things are changing. Now, Perek Lamed is the needed story. V'yismach hizkiyah, this is the first year of his reign. Veshlach Hizkiel al kol Yisrael v'Yuda v'gam nigrot ketav al afan v'menashe l'avol l'beit adonai v'Yushalayim l'asod Pesach l'adonai v'Yisrael. He invites everyone to come and make a new Passover celebration. Why is that for Pesach? What's Pesach symbolize? That's the beginning, that's the brit. It's written of Tarim, that's reestablishing the brit. If you don't bring Korban Pesach, you're chayav karet. But if you accept Korban Pesach, it's a brit. What?
I'm not clear
if those are chronological in there. I thought there were already... No, the first year of his reign. They don't go exactly to the sixth year of his reign. Okay. No. I should mention, Rabbi Yochanan has a really cool theory here, that he claims that Chizkiyahu was anointed, was re... Not re-anointed, re... Re-kinged, re...
Re-incarnated.
Yes. Re-incarnated. After, he says, after Galut Aser Tashfatim, and he did all cheshbon with the outside kings, and the dating is too complicated for now. And he claims that this was after, this could have been after Galut. And because even though they were exiled, a lot of people were left, and after Ashur takes them over and leaves, and he sort of takes over Ephraim and Asher. It won't affect Kashir today, but something to consider. That has to do with chronology, but out of the scope of today. This is what he says now. He sends letters to Ephraim and Asher to come and celebrate. How did Chazal say this? Who's the king now? If it's before the Chorban, if it's the first year, like Tanakh has it, who's the king?
Sure.
Yeah. What did Chazal say about Hoshea ben Elah? What did he do? He opened up the first king up north to open up and allow the Jews up north to come to Yerushalayim with Hoshea ben Elah. And of all kings, that's when the Chorban happened? It just doesn't make sense. Now, Pasuk Bet. Now we'll get a little conservative. ויבאת המלך מסורה בכל הקהל בירושלים לעשות את הפסח בחודש השני. What happened? They decided to make Pesach in the second month. Now, was that part of Balotch or not?
No.
How can we tell, what would be the litmus test if this is Pesach Sheni or Pesach Rishon?
If they did a Rishon.
If they did a Rishon, this would be Sheni. But they didn't do a Rishon.
Or then it would say they had to for whatever reason, yeah. Not that they decided to
yeah.
do it.
Well, yeah, the easiest way is simple. If you eat matzah for 7 days, it's Pesach Rishon. Right? If it's only Korban Pesach, it's Pesach Sheni. So we're going to pay attention. Now, throughout this Perek, they call it the Chodesh Hasheni. That's what the Navi calls it. Guess what Chizkiyahu is going to call it? Chodesh Rishon. The Gemara Mitzachin. Remember the fourth Perek? Remember the three things? There's three things Chazal said there were three things that Chizkiyahu did with Rabbi's life, and three things he didn't like. You know, that's not quantitative, that's qualitative. Understand? The three and the three? It means there's something problem, there's tension between Chizkiyahu and the rabbis. Even though he's a good king, he makes some decisions they're not happy with. Remember the three? What are the good things he does? What we read already. Cannot stay by our flaws. Those are good things. What was the other thing he did good? He took his father's bones after Achaz died, dragged him around the city, Vahadulo. It's the end of the fourth parak. Understand? Now, why did he take his father's bones and drag it around the city? It's Bizu Amir. But why did he do it? To show I'm changing policy 180 degrees. That should be clear.
He's making a statement to the country. Look what Ahaz did, and look what happened to Ahaz. I'm not my daddy, he's saying. We're changing things around. Things will be different now. He wants to make a point that God, I do this, God's going to come and help us. Do you understand what kind of mess Yisrael is going to be in when things don't go good? I'm trying to build up the problem.
I hope. I want you to appreciate why you need Yisrael. And why no one listen to him. No. So that's what he does. So those are the three good things. What are the three bad things?
Which is even mind-boggling. What's number one? What?
Iber
Nisan ben Nisan. That's the story right here. Know what that means? In the month of Nisan, he decided
to make a leap year.
That's Iber Nisan ben Nisan. This is the story here. What's the proof? Chazal, Tanakh calls it, the Navi calls it, Chodesh HaShini.
Even though it's in Chodesh, he called it Chodesh HaRishon.
That's Iber Nisan ben Nisan. Just like Yerobam did, remember, he makes Sukkot for Chodesh HaShmini. What do you mean? He was Chodesh HaShvi, but he runs the calendar, because the calendar is decided in the Mikdash. So he made it, had his own calendar. Remember, B'chodesh HaShabbat HaMilibo. Now, what was the other thing he did bad? Satam, the water system, the whole Mikvat HaShiloh, I'm sure you've all been there. Chazal said that was a bad idea. How can we? It was a great job. It was amazing. He said it was a bad idea. And the third thing he did was bad? He sent a bribe to Melech Ashur. He borrowed the money from the temple and stuff and sent a bribe to get Ashur out of our way instead of trusting in Hashem. So those are all three things that were very logical and make a lot of sense. And we'll see, this one even, that Iber Nisan ben Nisan even makes tremendous sense. In fact, it doesn't seem to be so bad. But for some reason, they're critical of him for that. And that would be the beginning of an understanding of something going wrong. But now we have to see the core story and see where it's coming from. So understand what he's doing. He wants to make this big celebration. He wants everyone to come to Yerushalayim. He's turning over a new leaf. Okay. Why did they do in the first month? Pasuk Gimel. Ki lo yachlu lasot beit ahi, ki hakohanim lo yitkadshu, lemadai. No, they didn't, the kohen didn't have handy ready enough. And what else? Va'am lo nesfu Yerushalayim. He became king in the first month. And the Rosh Hashanah became king. It took a long time to clean up the Mikdash. It takes a long time to fix up the shul.
Especially when it's in bad shape.
He says, listen, we'll never get off the ground. Let's wait a month. What's the big deal? If any son, any son. So it's in his time, he decided, guess what? It's out of bed.
When is the Rin Begill again? I'm not sure.
Why is the Rin Begill again? What?
Because
okay. It didn't happen yet. Okay. Hey, what? We're up to here. Listen, look at Pasuk Dalet, what Chazal says. Vayisa davar b'nei hamelech u'b'nei kol hakahal. What's that mean? Who liked the idea? T'ibn Nisan ben Nisan. Who liked the idea?
The king
of the people. Who didn't like the idea?
The rabbi.
Okay. Davar lavir kol b'chol Yisrael b'v'yashem abadan. Lavol asot b'v'yashem abadan. Right? Lavol asot pesach l'adonai v'yisrael b'yushalayim ki lo l'rov asuk ha-katuv. Many years it never didn't get off the ground. It wasn't that popular. This year is going to be the biggest Passover we're going to see since the time of Shlomo. We'll say that in a minute. There was never a Passover like this in Shlomo Melech. Doesn't mean there was never a Passover, but nothing like this. And why like Shlomo, we'll see why. Vayechut haratzim bigrot, this is a great story. They're sending letters, invites everybody. Yer ha-melech v'tzarah, v'cho yitzro v'yuda, v'ch mitzvat ha-melech v'mor, quote, v'nei Yisrael, shuvu el Adonai Elohei Abraham Yitzhak v'Yisrael, v'yashov et el ha-pleitah ha-nisher t'chem mikaf melech ha-yashor. If we return to God, what will happen? Our exiles, Ashur's already come and attacked them. There's already people in exile. Things are already bad. If we return to God, God will return our brethren back to us. He's hoping already for Shivat Zion. When Yeshua talks about what?
I thought you said this was the first year.
What? Now you see why Rabbi Yo's building, the project says it's the first year.
But it's the first year, you said before. Right.
Well, before
yeah, so that's why, that's part of Rabbi Yo's whole Shita, that he's recoordinated. And this is the first year after Ashur got rid of Shomron, Hefer and Galut already. That's why I didn't want to get into that.
But then...
If she does, great. I said, what?
There's been a Galut already. Who's sending letters to
them? There's still Jews there.
Yeah.
It wasn't a complete gullah. It was a typical then, but people stayed around. What happened? When the enemy comes in, and it's a lost cause, what happens? Like the Jews, they run away, they hide in the mountains. A couple of them stay in sight, they get thrown out, and everyone else hides. Everyone's got an apartment somewhere, a relative, right? And then, didn't the same thing happen with some Gedaliah? Not some Gedaliah, I was the first name. Remember? When the Khurban, all of a sudden people coming out of the field, out of the woodwork. Where were they? They run away. The king himself tries to run away. Everyone say fight, fight, fight. And the people start to, the leaders say fight, fight, fight. Right? And what do they do? All the officers run away. And the Nebs are left in the city. But when Nebuchadnezzar comes in. Because they all come from the fields later on, back to Gedaliah. So they start fighting with each other. No. Okay, so he's saying, and listen, understand, return to God and he'll help us out. V'altiu kabotechem, ukachem asher malu v'adonai yohei avotehem, v'etnem neshama, because of your forefathers, that's why things have been so bad, kasher atem ro'im. Atah, atak shuva v'chem, don't be stiff-necked, kabotechem. Tzu yad l'adonai, uvol v'miktasho, asher ikdish l'olam, v'ibdu et adonai v'chem, v'yashov v'chem charon apo. Serve God, what will he do? Just stop being angry, meaning if we serve God properly, return to the mitzvah, start bringing korbanot, God will reciprocate. But it sounds great, but you understand what expectations are getting? Fix up the temple, start bringing korbanot, serve God properly, bring as many korbanot as we can, what will God do for us? Feed him, and he'll be kind to us. That's going to be the question, what type of tshuva they do? You can begin already to hear what Yishael is going to get into. Remember, Lama Lirov Zivchechem? It's going to fit perfectly in a minute. Why? Ki b'shuvchem al Adonai, if you return to God, achechem u'bnechem l'rachamim lifnei shoveihem, your brothers are already in exile. You have mercy upon them. V'lashuv la'eretz hazot, ki chanun v'rachum Adonai Elohechem, v'yaser panim mikem, im tashuv eila. You do real tshuva to God, he won't forsake you. The people have been shocked by what happened with Ashur, and they're willing now to return to God. But what's the motivation that he's still giving them to return to God? And that's going to be key. If you return to God, what's in it for you?
To
get your family back. What isn't he saying? Return to God and do what? And be a nation representing God. You're doing it sort of what's in it for me again. Now, it means, well, the intentions are good. For sure. The question is, how sincere is this tshuva? And that's always the problem with the tshuva movement, how sincere everything is. Okay, what are we up to? We're up to Pasuk. I can't be anymore. Pasuk what?
Good.
Yeah, question, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So what makes this Yama so sure that all of Yehuda wants
No, that fight's over. It's so bad that there's a common enemy. Now we get together.
Yeah, but I mean, there have been times where Israel lined up with Aram against Judah.
Yeah, but there are times when we work together. Look on the map. Sometimes we're together, sometimes we're not. We're still brothers. We still fight. We still... If things can be so bad, you're willing to make friends with your family sometimes. Yeah.
Was it just karma this guy was doing? Doesn't the karma talk about how he stuck a sword in the Mishmarach and made everybody learn? And
yeah. What if I'll say the time of his scale?
Everybody from down that Rosh Hashanah.
Knew what?
Tumah
and Tahara, exactly.
They still were learning.
Yeah.
Just karma.
And Tumah and Tahara.
So.
Okay, now you're ready for Yishayahu. Now you're ready for Yishayahu. You're saying it sarcastically. Follow? That's the whole point. The ritual is from the Kibbutz. Right? But how do they act with one another? He's not from them. I'm not going to dive in his role. You follow all this stuff? To make fun of someone who doesn't hold like them? It's all going to be a social thing. It's going to be... That's why no one learns Yishayahu. Back to where? Yeah, we're into the Pesach. We got to get the conservative stuff. Okay, now here's that. Pesach Yud. Vayir ratzim obrim me'ir le'ir, ve'eretz Ephraim u'min asher, ad Zvulun. Vayu maschikim alehem. What's that mean? Madigim ba'am. They got laughed at. The Gushnikim were making fun of them. You follow? I'll leave me alone. All these messengers came around, asking people, come to Yerushalayim and celebrate.
And what was the gut reaction of most people? Yeah, forget it. So something, if other there's a core feeling of, it's not going to work. On the other hand, now we get to Neb. Ach anashim yasher, ach anashim yasher, min nashem uzbulun, nichnu'u, pechol v'mshalayim. Get it? The cynic stayed back, and then, like all the Nebs, the simple people, say, "Sadio, let's go for it, couldn't hurt." So they take the invite. Gam Yehuda ita yad Elohim letet lehem lev achad, lasot mitzvat ha-melech vasarim bedvar Adonai. Also, Yehuda, people decided to come, he catches on. It doesn't get 100% attendance, but say 50%, 60%. No. Ve'etzvu Yerushalayim Amrav lasot et chag ha-matzot v'chodesh ha-sheni, kal rav mo'od. The Navi consistently calls it chodesh ha-sheni. Ve'kumu ve'esur et ha-mizbuchot ha-shir b'Yerushalayim, et kol ha-katrot, ha-shiru ve'ashikho na-chokidron, all, everything bad, all the idol worship, and everything, all the bamot, they throw into Nachukidron. Veshchatu ha-Pesach, bar-ba-asa l'chonesh ha-sheni, v'afim ovim nichlumu v'itkatshu v'yaviu olot b'it Hashem. V'amdu al-amdam v'kmishpatam k'ov Moshe yishalvim, v'akonim zolkim et adam y'al-alavim. Got it? They're doing the service the right way. Now, why are the konim and levim doing all the shechita? Pasuk Yud-Zayin. Ki rabat ha-kal asher lo yitkadashu, v'alavim ha-shechita t'apsachim, l'chol lo tohor, like this, Adonai. The people came, remember who came to this? People who haven't been to Yerushalayim in ages. Before they came, they did Parah Aduma?
No.
They did Efer Parah? They didn't do that. They know from Milchus Tumah? Maybe they do know. Okay? But they didn't. They weren't ready for it yet. You follow? And therefore, all these people show up to Korban Pesach, and guess what? They're Tamei. Nefi Halacha, what can they do? What? That's the question. It's a robe or not. But, yeah. But it's the second month already. There's not much time for... That's a big question, but they weren't tohor. Now, what's halach if you're not tohor? Can someone check it for you?
Yes. No.
That's exactly... That's the mission, right? If you can't check it, you can't eat it. You can't check it for someone to eat. That's a classic example of a Pesach that's come in. What? If you can't eat it, I'm saying. If you can't eat it, you can't check it.
It's the seventh day.
What?
It was the seventh day.
They weren't allowed to. Okay. He says, why? Why? Again. Ki rabat ha-kal asher l'kadesh v'alvim ha-shechita t'apsachim l'chol ha-tohor l'kadesh Hashem. Okay. Now, Pasuk Yud-Chet. Ki marvit ha-am, most of the people, rabat me'efraim u'mnashe v'yisachar z'vulun, the people from up north, from the northern tribe, lo yitaharu, ki achot ha-pesach v'lo kakasuv. Understand? They did it anyhow, but not, they didn't do it from the story. You follow? They, okay, Kikil said, you know what? It's okay. It's like inviting someone for Shabbat and he's going to drive to your house. You know the problem? Is it right or wrong? Listen, better than nothing, right? What do you do instead? Watch TV? So, if you have a Shabbat anyhow, at least let him have a Shabbat still. It's not an easy talk. And what did he say? Listen. Kitpalach Kikil Aleim Lemor Adonai Atov Yechater Bad. Isn't that amazing? Kikil knowingly allows the people with Yikarim Pesach Betuma. And what did he say? He davened for them and said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, what do you call him? He's a modern Orthodox, Kadosh Baruch Hu. You follow? He'll look the other way. I'm called conservative. Yeah.
In comparison to driving a Shabbos, this feels kosher. He's sponsoring that feels kosher. They would have been doing that otherwise. The people would not have been doing eating kosher.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's the right thing.
No. In comparison to saying it's
I'm just joking with that.
No,
I'm not saying this. I'm saying that that's a different stuff. I'm just giving an example of a dilemma. Give an example of a dilemma between people wanting to do something good, even though it's not Ketarat HaKodesh. Ideally, you shouldn't drive on Shabbos. What do you do if a chance I can either bring Korban Pesach? You invited people, you send letters, you invited everybody. Come, and then you come and you can't eat anything. Okay, I'm not saying it's the same halachic status. I'm saying it's just there's a dilemma there, where sometimes saying something's okay, because it's looking at a bigger picture. But you understand Kikil's Gisha? But the same gishah by Pesach Sheni, between Iber Nisan and Nisan. Don't leave me alone with the little details. There's a big picture going on here. Let's get moving.
I'm trying to make a grand gesture.
That's right. It's just to be nice. Let's just, forget it all. Everyone can become like Gior. It's the same problem today with Gior. Is that another example? How maker can be on Gior? Remember the problem today in Israel? No thing. So what's it? Is it more important that we have a Jewish state and not have somebody climb around? And so Gior it's called Khatif, or are we going to mark it on every little thing? That's a serious question. No.
Strange override for people who are experts in Tumah and Tahara.
But that's what, when Chazal say that, they're still on the mark. Right?
Right.
Yeah. No. And Shah, you think you were experts in Tumah and Tahara back then? That's a Mamar Chazal, not sure if it's Shuta. It's definitely not Shuta Shemikro. It's coming to highlight something. Okay. We'll see. Yeah. Now, back to, crack inside. Now, what are we up to? There's a better puzzle, yeah. Okay. Pasuk Yotzeh. You think I was bad? Listen to what Navi says. Kol levavo hechin lidrosh Elohim Adonai Elohei Avotav. Look at Tarat HaKodesh. Isn't that beautiful? Okay. What does it mean? Chizkiyahu's intentions were as pure as possible. He meant well. But what? Look at Tarat HaKodesh. Luckily the conservatives have found this. But this is like a really, I'm not saying it's a right makar, but it's really interesting. You have something like that already. That, you know, we can look the other way because we see a bigger picture and forget the little details.
The Navi is criticizing.
For sure. That's why. That's what's the background of Hodula Bola Hodula? That 3 and 3 is qualitative, not quantitative. They set up for 3 against 3. Because he means well, but it's problematic. Now, what's the next one? By Shema Hashem, listen. By Shema Hashem, Echizkiel. That's why, because that's what I'm saying. This is a really good source to them. Okay? By the Kvara Ta'am. Sure, what? What?
What were
we doing? You use that word a lot. When he talks about looking in the vote of Nechama, also in Tarek Lamed, in Yimei, I think it's there. He says, Hashem, your Anush, your Makkah, is Anush and your thing, and then Hashem, I'm going to Malei Arucha, I'm going to be your, you know, there's no refuah for you, and God's going to be your Rosh and going to heal you.
He's going to help you with your
truth. Yeah. By Mara, what do you have? Ken Hashem Rofecha. Where's that? In Esther Mara.
You're saying that the word means not refuah for particular easier, but just the general.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, how'd they translate it here?
Absolve.
What? What'd they say? I can't read it. What?
Absolve?
They say?
Well,
or heal the people.
Yeah,
he forgave them and he healed them. I don't know if they were sick, but he. I don't know if that's what they're healing, but they're helping them out.
It sounds like it's forgiveness of sin.
Yeah.
It makes more sense
to use metaphors. Yeah. Again, looking at Yahweh and Labal, we have that imagery of love.
Yeah.
Back to, I'm sorry, Pabdi Kavala. By Yasub and Eitan, in Sev Yerushalayim, it's Chag HaMatzot. Aha. Understand? If it's Chag HaMatzot, what's that mean? Eti Ben Eitan Ben Eitan. That's Pesach Rishon. That's the proof, it's not Pesach Sheni. How could that be bad? You follow? For somebody to go and yell at him for that? Imagine if a rabbi comes and yells at you for that. There's something kind of like, such a good king. Okay. The very Chizkiyahu live at Kol Avim, Hamaskilim. Secha Tov Lashem. B'chul Ata Moed, Shivat Yamim, Hamizabchim Zivchei Shlamim, Mitfadim Lashem Elohi Avotem. They're doing tshuva, they're celebrating. This is the biggest thing ever. Okay. And then they do what? They make another 7 days, don't they? In Pesach, they make another 7 day celebration. Okay? Listen, Chavdalit. Now you listen. Listen to Chavdalit and you hear Yisrael in the background. Okay? Kichizkel melech in Zahirim. You know what Hebrew means? Like, lift it up and dedicate it. Lekal elef parim v'shivat alafim tzon. That's the Kiddush. Okay? Vasarim yirim lekal parim elef. The tzon is there to the thing. By Ketron Kim Lerov. Facebook will call Yehuda and Kohenim and Levim and call Kalabayim Yisrael, the Grim of Eretz Yisrael, and Yisrael be Yehuda. Everyone come, everyone's happy. But this is like the Lord Yisrael, Kimimei Shlomo HaMelech, Yisrael David Melech Yisrael, Lokot of Yerushalayim. Why are they comparing it to Shlomo HaMelech? Why Dafke Shlomo?
Second 7 days?
That's first, but it's a bigger 7 days. What? No, but remember Shlomo, what Shlomo do? The same thing. Right? The mass amounts of korbanot is the same thing by Shlomo. That's what I talk about. When they do the dedication of the Mikdash, there's tons and tons of animals. You hear Yisrael now? But they're into korbanot, they're into taking up the Mikdash. Right? And they're into davening, aren't they? What's Yisrael say? Why? Remember, Vachatzu, is that cool? What's Yitzchak going to complain about? All this return to God is beautiful and wonderful, but what? Within society, among one another, everything's still rotten. Everything's still corrupt. And that's what he's going to complain about the most. And the people aren't going to buy it, you understand? Because what were they promised? You come and return to Yerushalayim, things will be better. The king promises it to them. And what happens? It doesn't work. Not right away. Finally, after 14 years, right? After all this trouble, Yerushalayim stayed until the last minute. We finally get that little miracle in. After Lachish is destroyed, all our Yehudah are destroyed, the 10 tribes are gone. So we stayed to the last minute. Are you going to sing? Remember, did Hizkiel sing? Say hello for that? He can't. How could he? Yeah.
How does the book,
no, according to most Parshanim, that it fits perfectly with Hizkiel Tantra.
Yeah, what? Like
yeah, but it's out of class. The first, Perek Bet is Uziel. Perek Aleph is like, you know, like they had an album, they had a medley in the beginning, and all the best songs up front. Perek Aleph is the best. It's the best of the best. Now, there's an argument about when it's referring to, but it can't be Achaz. Okay? Now, it can't be Uziel. You follow? Because if you look in Perek Aleph, it doesn't fit to Uziel's time period. Because it talks about how bad things are. But you know, it can't be Achaz. By de facto, it's got to be Chizkiel. But all the questions talk about it. Back to... Oh, we're almost out of time. We didn't get anywhere yet. What are we up to? I lost the page. I want to see Dibra Yameim. I think that's the main story. Yeah. Okay. And then, yeah. Vayikum ha'kohanim v'levim v'yibrachu et kol ha'am v'yishmak v'kol ha'am v'tabot tefilatam l'mon kotsho ha'shamayim. Sounds so good, doesn't it? Kachot ke'an. Okay? Now the right wingers come in. Al. Kechot kol zot yetzu kol yisrael nimtzen v'lare yehuda v'yishabru ha'matzivot v'yagadu ha'shirim v'natzu et ha'bamot. ואת המטבחות מכל יהודה בנימין ואפרים ומנשה עד לחלה ושוב בני ישראל איש לאחוזתו לרעיין. They wiped out, you understand? They wiped out everything. All the avodah zarah in the country.
So why is this left out of
Malachi? Why in Divrei Yamim, the main point of Divrei Yamim is fixing up the Mikdash. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing. Divrei Yamim is written for the beginning of Beit Sheni. The accent is on all the efforts done to fix up the Mikdash. And this is a great example of all the efforts to fix up the Mikdash and the Kohanim and Levim doing it right. Yirmiyahu is coming, in Malachim coming to explain why the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. This doesn't explain why it's destroyed. This is the reason not to destroy it. It's not part of the agenda of the book. Remember, these are books coming to tell you all the history. Once you understand they're not coming to tell you history, there's no question how come this is there. It's only recorded what's needed for the purpose of the book. Then Yechizkel organizes the Kohanim and Levim properly after that. And basically, up until the end of the Perek, they talk about Imani, Trumot, Nasrot, skip the Pasuk Tet in Perek Lamed Aleph. By Dorsh Chizkiel, Kohanim v'Levim, Al HaRimot, V'Emer Aleihem, Azariah Kohen, Arosh, L'Beit Tzadok, V'Emer, Nechad Trumah L'Avi L'Beit Hashem, Ochov V'Tzavo V'Oter, Ad L'Rov, Ki Hashem B'Rach Tamo V'Notar Tamon Azeh. Okay? The income is coming well, there's food for everybody. The country is growing beautifully now, in the early years. Okay. Yeah, they get the whole Beit HaMikdash fixed up, they bring Trumah and Maser, everything's going fine. That takes us to the end of Perek Lamed Aleph. Okay? Here? Look at Pasach, in Pasach Ha. Last two psukim of the Perek. V'yat kizot chizkel b'cho yudah, v'yat ha'tov v'yashar v'amet v'yifnei Adonai Elohav. There's no king that gets such a good grade like chizkel. You see that? V'cho matzeh asher echel b'avrat beit Elohim, v'torah v'mitzvah v'grosh Elohav, v'cho levavo asa v'yitzeh. In the early years. It's so good. Yeah.
What does Tov Yashar mean? That sounds ethical. That sounds like social justice. All the things you're saying.
He does. Chizkel does well. But Chizkel is there. The people aren't there. Okay. Now. כן, פרק ל"ב, אחרי הדברים מהמת האלה, בא סנקר מלך אשור ויבוא יהודה ויחן על הרים בבשורה ויאמר לבקם אליו. Got it? After all this, דברים האמת. It's good stuff he's doing. You know? Despite all that, what happens? Sanhedrin comes in. Do you understand the mess Yishael has in Olden Zin at that time period? Not just Yishael. It's Micha. I mean, Micha and Amos as well. But Yishael is the king. He's the main Nabi in Yehuda. Why are we losing to Ashur? Why is Lachish falling? Why is Yerushalayim almost destroyed? Okay. That's when they then the Sotem Benok Agichon destroyed this in Pasuk Gimel. It's Tivat All the things in the Gemara, all psukim. Okay. Then they do all that. They fix up the wall. And then, look in Pasuk Tet. It's such a great story. Okay. Sanchar is fighting at Lachish, and his next stop is Yerushalayim. So Achaz that Shalach Sanchar v'melech Ashur Avadav Yerushalayim, Hu al Lachish, Tuchom Yom Sato Imo, Al Chizkiyah Melech Yudah, V'akol Yudah, Shab Yerushalayim Vemor. Got it? They're fighting in Lachish. Lachish is almost wiped out. They defeat Lachish. And Yerushalayim is next in line. And he sends a letter, he wants Yerushalayim to put up a white flag. Okay. Komar Sanchar v'melech Ashur, Yehuda. Lachish is right near Yavne. You know the road? Not that far, Yavne. Lachish is, if you go from, you ever go Chotzei Yehuda? Or you go from, you ever been to Beit Kuvrin? Beit Kuvrin over there, it's a little bit past there, between there and on the way between Beit Kuvrin and Ashdod. It's right by, it's by Kastina. Before Tzom HaPlugot.
Closer to the Yam.
I'm going to Marot HaMatzia. There you go. Okay. Now, listen. He sends his follow. He sends the road. On the road to Ashdod. Kol Mar Shatkari Melech Ashur. Amatem Botrim V'Yoshrim V'Matzav Yerushalayim. He says, who are you putting your trust in? Why are you waiting at the siege of Yerushalayim? Why do you think you can protect the city? Remember all the things you're doing, the digging them, the Gichon? Beginning prepared for battle. Tachir says, why don't you just put up a white flag? Why are you fighting? Listen to Chizkiel. Hello, Chizkiel, Mititzchem. Your king is getting you guys in trouble. Listen to me, Rav Shakeh says. Listen to me, put up a white flag, even don't listen to the crazy king. He's in the sugar. He's going to get you all killed. Why? Tachitzchem, Lamut, Varav, Tzabal, Lemur. Your king, if you follow your king, you're all going to die. Okay? And what's he done? Hashem Elokim Yaseinu B'Kafim Elach Ashur. What's your king telling you? God's going to help us. Don't listen to that religious fanatic, he's saying. He's going to get you in a mess. Be practical. Put up a white flag. No. Now you're going to give him a shirk lali about why would they trust in God? What's the Havamina? Why would Hanitzel think he's going to shrug each one up? Listen to this one at a time. Okay. Halahuk, now he's going to explain why in the world would God, the God of Israel, help Chizkiyahu in battle? And listen why he's going to tell the people why God would never help this king. Listen what he says. Hanitzel says, Halo Chizkiyahu mesit etchem, I'm sorry, we read that. Pasuk Yud Bet. Halahu Chizkiyahu, הישיר במותב את מזבחותיו, ביום רביעי בירושלים למור לפני המזבח, אחד ישתחוו עליו תקירו. Why wouldn't God, Yudke Vavke, why wouldn't he help his people? Why? What did this crazy king do? He closed down all the shivlach. He said, no more ashkama minyan, no more nothing. You follow? He said, you can only daven in one central minyan and that's it. Right? He stopped so many people from davening, this king. He destroyed all God's bamot. You understand? Isn't that the best proof? It's a goy mitzich lepitumo.
Is that just a pagan who thinks the more is better?
For sure. But that was a popular understanding. The more bamot, the better. And she still thinks that that's going to help God? But remember, he's not telling his hashkafa. He's telling the people their hashkafa. He's trying to convince the people in Yerushalayim to put up a white flag. He has to say something that makes sense to them, not to him. He's convincing them, why would God help your king? Look what your king did. He closed down all the shuls. It's anti-everything. You follow? Anti-religious freedom. God's going to help him? Look how many less kabbalot your God has now. How can he help you? You understand the tefisa behind it? Now one more line and we have to finish up. And the next one, they says what? We read that. Halot yidu. Ma siti ani v'avosai l'chol amei arzot ha'ichu yuchlu elohei goi arzot l'chot at arzam yadi. Did any other God save them? All the other gods they got rid of, no one is, and why do you think your God's any better? Okay. He goes on with the same thing. Then in Malachim, he talks about, you think you can help, that Egypt can help you? Right? How can Egypt help you? Egypt is called Mishen Kenaratzut. Mishen, they promised that, but they never. They're like a leaning rod, a cane, that looks like wood, made out of kana, made out of bamboo. It looks like real wood, but when you lean on it, it breaks. That's the story in Malachim. We have all three. Things. You think, oh, you think your army can do it? Your army's got nothing. Even if I give you arms, you couldn't fight. That's the three things he brings down. Now,
You understand the setting now? How problematic it is? In light of that, you have to appreciate Yeshayahu. Now, by the way, in the first parak, what is it? Malachem Mizrach Mitzrayim Yishtot Meinahar? What parak is that in? Is that in the first parak? What was that in? What?
I think it's
it's the beginning of Yirmiyahu. No, it's the beginning of Yeshayahu, isn't it? Why going to the oh no, that's it's something similar there, but that's later on in Yeshayahu. Right, that's Yirmiyahu Perek Bet. Isn't it? Yeah. That's second of the 3 weeks. Now. Which one? Okay, now back to, let me summarize and show you what I do. I try to paint the picture of what's happening in the time period of Hezekiah. You never had such a good king. And then, as far as Hezekiah the person, his intentions are great. He really means well. But the people don't seem to be there. But the main motivation that they have, why they're returning to God, is this the motivation? I want to be God's people. I want to be a mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. Is that the motivation, or is the motivation? I want a vending machine that's going to work. I want a vending machine that works. I want military victory. I want my captains back, etc. Therefore, what I do? Tell me what Sarah and Susan to say, what korban to bring, what ritual to do, and that'll help me.
You're saying true in Europe, or not even that.
I'm saying they mean. I'm saying they mean well, but it's over. I'm not saying ritual is wrong. Neither of these
rituals. Ritual is a great thing.
What? It's
not good.
Yeah. What?
It's not ideal.
It's not ideal, but it's not enough. Now, if it's starting in a vacuum, it's one thing. But we got a lot of baggage already. We've been that's the sign with. Right? We've been there, done that. We've gone through the cycle over and over again. We had a chance with Uziel's time period. That's why the background of Uziel is so important. We've been there, we've been warned already. And a second, what's going to happen? Let's say God's good to us, and our enemies are gone, and we have prosperity again. What are we going to do with that prosperity? Is it going to lead to haughtiness again? That was the problem with Uziel. Remember what happened? God's nice to us. He gets rid of, Aram's gone. Remember each of those enemies? Aram, Asher hasn't come in yet. God gives us 20 years to cash in. And things go well. What do we do with our wealth?
Is that good?
No, that's best through hay. That's Mashallah Karim.
Even if it's a year later, right now, if I threaten you that you're misbehaving and you better change your behavior.
Yeah.
If you change your behavior, so you're entitled to...
That's right. So, now, that's fine.
On you go, yeah,
and that's what Yishayahu said. Fix your behavior. But if what the people think is, all I need to do is bring more kavanot, daven more, pray more. That's the ritual part. But what Yishayahu is complaining about, you're doing all that. Remember he says, take care of the gary, that wing stuff. That's what he talks about all the time. And it's not that it's never happened before. We've been through there and done that. And there's something basic. It sort of comes out, it's got to get worse before it can get better. It's such a problem all the time. The second, even when they return to God, it's only a menazah kabbalah kind of idea. It's not God's working for them, they're not working for God. And Yishayahu tried to get that message across, and it falls on deaf ears. And the Americans got suffered from the same problem later on. And when Chazal say, everyone knows all of us are Tumah and Tahara. Remember? Where's the story with going up to the Mizbeach and they're worried about the guy dies, and the worried about...
They're more worried about Tumah and Tahara than the guy was killed.
Yeah. They're more worried about Tumah and Tahara than the guy being killed. Isn't that the time period? Doesn't that say it all? Yeah. What? He could have been. What? What? He could have been.
The real Havamina.
There was a real Havamina, but the people weren't there.
So the people,
he was there. Yeah, but...
There's no Mashiach about the people.
The Mashiach to lead the people.
But,
what? That's the case. It didn't work in the end. He was good. He had the right rutzon, he had the right desire, etc. But it wasn't enough. Now remember, you're not getting the whole, the Navi bringing, so you learn from the mistake. All I tried to paint, I'm trying to explain the picture of how could it be? I don't have an answer. I don't have a perfect answer. I wish I did. I'm trying to paint the parameters of it. You have a situation where it's never been worse in Jewish history. We're getting wiped out as a nation. And we have a king who's never been better. According to all the theorem. But when you read between the lines, what is most of his actions in? It's picking up the Mikdash, wiping out of Avodah Zarah, almost the point of fanaticism, getting rid of the Bamot. But it's all ritual, Tuma and Tara, etc. But we don't talk about any good behavior. And now, so you don't see that in Melachim. When you read Yeshayahu, he doesn't stop talking about it. Right? And now you can understand why Yeshayahu is talking about that, and why the people don't buy it. Because it takes a very mature understanding of God to appreciate that. And that's the fight in the game of all through Vayit Rishon. Now, I want to end with one little insight about miracles. I talked about, the title was Generation in Need of, In Search of Elijah and in Need of Isaiah. It's one of those fancy titles. Did we do that one?
Yes.
No. I think maybe we talked about it before. We talked about it last time? No. There's two models of Navi you have. You have the miracle workers, the classic Navi, Eliyahu, Elisha, and especially with Elisha. What do you hear about all the time? Nothing. No. You don't find that by Yeshayahu. You have an old one thing, but Yeshayahu doesn't go around doing miracles for everybody like Elisha does he? He goes around yelling at people. Right? He goes out rebuking. He's not predicting anything. He's trying to fix him. Now, in most people's eyes, the classic Navi is Elisha, isn't it? Is that Elisha? And the more miracles he does, the better predictions he makes. Like Mukabali. What Gedolim do go to forget in brachas? What do you do? The guy with the best track record in getting people healthy. Right? Listen to the story. Oh, this guy. That's what they're going to. Who's got more magic powers? Right? And that's what people are attracted to. I'm just being a right from nowadays. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm saying that's what attracts people. No. There are times when that's needed. There are times when God sends us coming out of Egypt. Miracles left and right. Now, when does God give us Nevi'im? When does God give us Nevi'im who do miracles? And when do we need Nevi'im like Yeshayahu? It depends what the problem is. If the problem is the very belief in God, like coming out of Egypt, if what's missing in Amiso is the understanding that God exists, that there is a God, and there's one God, and that God chose us, etc. Do you believe in God, yes or no? In the time of Ahav, there's a problem of believing in God. They're bringing Baal and Asherah. I need to prove that God exists. Right? And therefore, when the very existence of God is in question, and the people don't understand what God is, or that He exists, right? Then I need a miracle worker. Remember? And then by means of Hashem Moshe Avdo. I need a miracle to get over the first son, to get over the threshold. Okay. Once I have a nation that believes in God, understands that there is a God, now the question is, what does God want me to do? Right? Yeah. So now I need guidance of how I need to act. I don't need miracles for that. Then I need Yishayel. Understand the difference? No. Based on saying, who's in a higher madriga? A generation with Nevi'im that needs Yishayel is a higher madriga than a generation that needs Elisha. If you need miracles to prove that God exists, it's a low madriga. When your generation, when you need rebuke, at least the core value is understood. The people understand that there's a God. They believe in God. The question is, what's God want from them? Or is God working for them, or are they working for God? That's what Yeshayahu has to fight. And they're willing, they understand there's a God, they have to serve Him and worship Him, but they have a more of a primitive understanding of what God wants. Yeshayahu is very advanced. Now, his problem, we have the same problem in education to this day, don't you? I'm just bringing it from nowadays. He had a similar problem back then. How do you explain to people, with all the importance of ritual, it's not everything? And there's core values in Judaism as well. It sounds left wing already. It sounds like, you know, it's not even religious bichav. What's that do with Judaism? And no one will go and say that officially because they know what the Nevi'im say. But that's what people see. That's the popular understanding. Look at what attracts people. And what people are looking for. It's the main motivation, like you said. I'm not looking about pras. Is Avodat Hashem. So what can God do for me? Or is Avodat Hashem, how can I represent God? How can I bring Kedushah Bola? Okay. That's a hard message to get over because people want to know what's in it for me. To put a person on a level that that's at Hashem, that you have this identity, that you're working for God, that's very hard to educate someone to that. So when people are at a low level, you can only use the simple approach. With education, you can try to get a higher approach. But then sometimes you throw out the baby with the basket.
Backwater.
Yeah. You do such a good job of the importance of good behavior, then you turn into, you forget about it. Without ritual, you have nothing. You follow? Without ritual, you don't have Judaism. Without minyan, without halakha, everything, that's a skeleton. But if it's only that, and that's where you're always torn between those two. And that's the challenge of education all the time. And then we're always torn between those two sides. So sometimes you put too much Yishayahu and you get nothing else. Then too much to the other side, you have nothing left either. And how to find the right balance between them, that's what's always so hard. And that's when you read Yishayahu carefully, you'll see what's behind it. So Yishayahu has to explain why is it the bad things happen to good kings. He has an explanation. It's hard to listen to him. But he says what's going on. And that's the first fact that's all through the book of what's going wrong. But that's why it's so tragic and so hard, and that's why he falls on deaf ears. The people don't cop it. Now again, at the end God saves him, he has Rachmanis on him. He saves him in Chizkiyahu's time. They're all backfires with Menashe, doesn't it? Now I'll end with the Gemara, that will be the next year. Remember the Gemara in, where the Kuf? What's the name of about Menashe? I guess it's Kuf Alas, Kuf Bet, somewhere. Remember the mission in Perek HaChedek about four people don't have an Ochel Baba? And there's the oldest of them, Achaz, and one of them is Menashe. So Rav Ashi gets up to Menashe. And Bernie says, tomorrow we're going to, we get to there, he says, tomorrow we're going to open up with our friends. Machar Yiftach Bachavre. Remember that one? He says, tomorrow we're going to open up with our friends. Referring to the four kings, like the buddy. That night, Menashe, the king, comes to him in a dream. Remember the dream? Menashe comes up to him in a dream and tells him, who do you think you are to call me your buddy? He says, so he says, what do you mean buddy? You're a Russia, right? He says, he asks him a question. He says, let me ask you a question. You think you're a rabbi. He says, when you make a motzi, what do you eat first? Remember that one? What do you eat first when you make a motzi? So Rav Ashi had no idea. So he says, you tell me. He says, does if the Karim Bishula, where it gets cooked first, where it gets burnt first, that's Allah. Rav Ashi's amazed. Wow, Menashe knows so much. Such a Talmud Chacham. He says, you know so much. He says, why'd you do all that about Azor? Why'd you leave God like that? Nobody answers him. He tells Rav Ashi, if you were living in my time period, you know what you would have done? You've been running after me. You understand what the Gemara is saying? It was so difficult to follow God then. Because people were so dedicated. Look at the king like Hezekiah. Look what happened. You see why Menashe gets so angry? Menashe is a hachiz. Menashe is not a great believer in idol worship. He's just angry with God. When he closes down the Mikdash and brings in all that idol worship, he's just angry. It's angry like Matthew by after the Shoah. You're just angry. You believe in another God. You believe in God. That's why you're so angry with him. And the hachis, he closes down the mikdash and does all, and then God gets back angry with him. But the Gemara is saying is there's logic to what he's doing. Because of that situation, it was really rough in the time of Chizkiyahu. That's what I'm trying to picture, I was trying to paint. It's not a simple good guy that I say. It's people with good intentions, people, and look at the expectations he's giving them. And look at this gathering. Everyone expects everything to be great. And everyone's hopes are so high and everything crashes. That crash is disastrous. And Yishayahu has to deal with that. And that's behind the book of the Chama of Yishayahu. If you want to appreciate what's happening in Yishayahu, that's the background you have to understand. Because most of Yishayahu is Chizkiyahu, the main parts of it. And that's why it's such a dilemma all the time. And that's why there's such a need for Nechama, there's such a need for Tochacha. And that's why it's so, you can understand why they didn't understand Yishayahu. You can't understand what he says. His Hebrew is very hard. But behind it, there's a lot of depth in what he's saying, and there's a lot of dialectic in that. Okay, so we were way over time. But I hope I got the picture painted. And again, there's a lot more to read inside. But that's Kufat. Chizkiyahu in the time of Yishayahu. Again, it's really the Hebrew, and that's Pesukim, but stuff people never learn. And we need to get up to we only got to the first year, which is the 14th year, and what happened there.
Okay, Mara's going to be 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Here, right here.
And I, extensively, are looking at what might be.